So, Kelly, you never tasted it before?
Nope.
She's waiting. I admire your turpitude there, girl. Excellent.
Were you prid cum then in terms of it's the big show?
I was about to start, yes.
I know, I noticed you were pre kind of...
It's the... And then here comes Doc.
It's the second start of the big show with me, Ewan Rankin, and a fantastic panel. This lot here. Yes. Discussing the week in technology, but no Apple, which pisses Doc off immensely.
Which is why we do it.
Doctor...
Is that swearing after about 5 seconds then?
Dr. Ructicus.
Aloha.
I like that. We need to get you a cake.
I'll accept that. Yeah, hello, everybody. Good week.
That takes a cape, for sure.
Takes the cape. That's cool. Dr. Octopus is now a superhero.
Super villain. Super Look at villain. That bald head.
Yeah. How you been doing, bud?
Really, really good. The weather here is starting to get cold, so we put socks on with our slippers, and that's it. I mean, by cold, I mean it's turning, 72 degrees or, 22 Celsius.
You shit. That's just not funny.
Wait, I gotta check my math. I don't know if my Celsius math was straight. I was just guesstimating, but you get the picture.
That's like a good summer's day here in the UK, mate.
I know. We get the rain too, though.
I went to Texas to see a buddy, and it was like 72 degrees at night. And I'm lying on the covers trying to keep cool. And I went and put the aircon on because I couldn't get any cooler. And he's like, you can't put the aircon on. Everyone else gets cold. I'm like, dude, what the hell am I going to do? I'm hot and I'm just lying on top of the covers with nothing on.
Hey, I got that kind of sort of right. It's about 22 degrees Celsius here, so I need to bust a jacket.
That's crazy. Wait till you come over for the bash, mate, in a couple of years. Oh, man. Oh, this year. You're coming this year because you didn't go to Macworld.
That's right. I'm saving it, but... I was like, I could get in a game of footy when I'm there, but my team is like somewhere in the middle of the table, which I'm not used to. I haven't had that feeling for like 20 years. It's kind of odd.
Well, it's also
which team?
Man U.
Okay.
But it'll also be July, so no one will be playing any football in this country anyway. So you'll be watching cricket. Hey. But the good thing about cricket is it takes all frigging day. So the pass is stamped by the wife to go all day and have cricket. And also you drink beer while you're watching the cricket.
Well, I'm going to be like the irritating wife because I'll be sitting there the whole time going, okay, what the heck does that mean? What's a wicked googly? No, how come they have a bat? That's not even a bat. That's a freaking stick with tape on it.
No, dude, no one in England understands cricket any better than you Yanks do. It's because it's an excuse to drink beer and be away from your wife all day.
Nice. All right, I'm coming. I'm going to book that ticket now.
Here we call that fishing.
Yeah, same thing. Fishing and hunting.
Yeah.
I used to work for a firm out in Grand Rapids in Michigan. And the guy there told me that once he went away on a hunting trip and he said, you know, hunting trips are bullshit. They're just an excuse to go and drink and eat and play cards and just chill out generally away from your wife. And he said, I got there and we actually went out hunting one day and I couldn't find any socks. And he said I wasn't going to go. So I stayed back home and everyone said, oh, okay, fine, we'll stay back. And then we just drank all day again. And he got back and he said, you didn't pack any hunting socks for me. She said, they're in your gun case.
Well played.
Next to Dr. Jeffrey.
How's it going?
The man of anglicized French descent. How the devil are you?
I'm doing great. And I learned something about myself today because I thought that I was or my name was descendant from an English name, but it turns out it really is French.
Well, it's anglicized French. So.
Yeah, anglicized French.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, there's no one in England who's actually English. They're all from something else. I've got a Scottish grandfather on my mother's side. My mother was born in Kent, and my father's Irish. So, I mean, it's just...
Yeah, and I have a lot of Scottish in my background.
Okay, right. The Saltar.
So let's go drink.
There's the excuse. I have a lot of Scotch in my belly, if that counts.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Beneath Jeffrey, it's Kelly, and her video's gone. Kelly, where's your video?
That's what happens when you eat Marmite. It just destroys the internet.
Right, here we go. Because we did the Marmite show with Adam last week on the Mac show, and this is Kelly's. I've got to say, I have utter admiration that you haven't tried this. You've had that for like 3 weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and you haven't tried it yet.
No, so, I was waiting because it was for the show.
Is that because you smelt it on day one and thought, I can't go near that for another 3 weeks?
No, it's actually, I knew we were going to do it live on the show, so I just held
out. There you go. Proper. Right, so Gavin Portage collected all of that stuff in a Norwich hotel and brought it to my door and dropped it through my letterbox, and I posted it on. So Gavin, thank you very much. And Kelly is now going to do the Marmite Challenge. So you have a piece of toast.
I do. Toast.
There we go, toast. And you want to put some butter on that.
It is buttered. I buttered it before I brought it down.
Okay, and now you want to put about half of that little sachet that you have over the whole thing.
On the whole toast.
Yeah, spread it. Spread that about half of it all over the whole thing.
Okay.
And have you got a pint of milk handy? That's quite useful to kind of null the pain afterwards.
I've got a bottle of water, and I have drinking vinegar just in case as a preemptive measure.
Hang on. If we're going to do a sweep here, I've got to say, I think my money's on Kelly actually liking this.
Me too. What? I'm in.
Yeah, I think Kelly's going to like this.
Dog rot, you obviously never had it.
No, I would point out that like the leaves in the plant behind Kelly are slowly flapping.
He did.
As if maybe they could fly.
Doc did his Marmite a couple of weeks ago and loves it. I'm going to send him a full jar.
Oh, good
like,
Lord.
I think,
okay.
I mean, I was kind of born British. I like F1. I like Manchester United. I like Marmite.
You're just deluded because you live in a lovely place and the weather's great. So
that's probably it too. But I'm thinking Kelly's going to love it because she's part elven. Have you seen her height?
Yeah, because Marmite featured heavily in The Hobbit.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I almost just Starbucks my whole computer. Thanks, Mr. Rankin.
Okay, so half a packet across the bread.
Even smear.
Show to watch some birds spread Marmite on toast.
If you're on audio, this is riveting. Hold it up. Let's just get a quick view.
Kelly, as you're eating this, don't think about beer that is 47 years overdate.
No.
I'm not big on beer, so it won't matter. So
don't let him wind you up. Here we go.
So you're not big on beer, but imagine drinking beer that is 42 years out of date.
No. He just doesn't like it. We love it here. So there you go. Kelly, dive in. Big mouthful.
Okay.
Off you go.
Here goes nothing.
Notice the colour is brown.
Oh. It's she doesn't hate it.
Have you got a bin nearby just in case you need to, you know?
So describe it, Kelly. Come on. Give us
There's a bin near you.
Give
you
us something for the audio listeners, for God's sake.
It's vaguely
lovely.
As I talk with my mouth full, it sort of tastes like when you get a little too much miso in your miso soup.
Thank you.
A little bit.
Okay, so it's got a soy saucy kind of quality with a bit of Worcester sauce and a...
It's a bit of fermentation is what it tastes like.
Yeah, it is. It's
42-year-old beer.
It's
a Japanese, it would be called umami.
If I had put that whole thing on, I think maybe we would no longer be friends.
So
this was the right amount.
Are you going to finish the piece of toast?
I totally am.
Would you be happy to wake up and have that?
Not first thing, no.
Yeah.
I could work up to it, you know, yeah. Like now, because it's like lunchtime. This isn't bad. So, yeah.
I mean, I quite like it as you've got it there with just like a bit of tiny butter in and then some on the top. But once in a while, I just feel like the butter and it has to form like a swirl almost. And then it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I put loads on
Kelly,
there.
I know how you can make that perfect. You do live in Portland and there are things you can do to make everything taste good in Portland.
Put bacon on it?
No. Oh. I'm talking about something from the Greenpeace organization.
Nuclear waste.
Greenpeace.
Right.
She got it.
Now, the other thing that you can do as well, which you might try with what you've got left over, Doc, is make yourself a boiled egg that's still got a runny yolk in it. So 6 minutes of boiling, and then do some toast with Marmite on it, and then put the egg on top and crack it open so that you mush it all up on the top. And Marmite and egg is, oh, God.
Have I gone on the wrong podcast?
It's God's breakfast, I'm telling you. If there was a God.
That might not be bad. That's something I probably would try.
I tell you what, Leah Laporte doesn't do this.
No, stuff. No, exactly.
This is cutting edge.
Twit's missing the culinary edge as far as I can see.
This Week in Marmite is a thing.
We could totally get sponsorship for that as well.
Yeah, last about 3 weeks.
I just now, like the look on Steve's face as we all talk about our enjoyment of Marmite. Going.
Jeff never sent me his address. If he'd have sent me his address, he would have tried it as well. Jeff, send me your address.
I did.
And I will send, no, you didn't. And I will send you Marmite. And the last guest who's just having a swig of beer and we're just going to get to him while he's drinking it. The chairman of the London Mac Use Group, Steve Neighbour.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
No one ever asks you how you are.
I do recall you said that on the last time you were on.
I know, I'm only on every
month. Once a month, yeah.
So,
how is the London Mac User Group?
Yeah, really good. We've moved to a new venue, which is Tiger, which is a nightclub. But no one's there between the hours of 6 and 10, so we take over the whole place and we rock the show. It's good fun. Yeah, it's all right. It's good. And we're going to have a big pub quiz. We're going to have an Apple Tech pub quiz on the 8th of 4th. December. I might 8th. Have the date wrong, but it's the second Monday of 8th. December. And it's a pub quiz, so there's going to be questions. And if you know your Apple Tech knowledge from the year, you may well win prizes, including an iPad.
Well,
including lots of stuff, and you're going to come along and we're going to do it live on streaming. It's going to be great.
It's not just a thing for people who are at the venue, because for those of you that are further afield and can't join in, we're going to broadcast the whole thing live, and we're also going to have a Christmas quiz prize for someone who's in the chat room. So you've got to come along, you've got to be in the chat room, and it's the IRC chat room. Don't bugger off to the live stream one that no one goes in. Come to the IRC chat room and you will get a prize if you get all of the questions right. Now, obviously, we expect you to get 100% because you've got access to Google and all that kind of crap. But the winner in the chat room will get a special prize. So it's 8th of December. It will happen. It's definitely happening. There's no question. Which is just after the Gaming Show quiz. Gaming Show quiz is the 6th of December on the Saturday. And I'll be at that as well as with Will Green and Chris Woods. And Stephen Lowe's coming up, I think, with us, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to play some games. We're going to do the Scottish Gamer Show quiz, where everyone takes on Chiz, and Chiz kicks our asses. So there you go. It's Bring Your Own Booze, £5 a ticket. You can get it on the website. If you go there, you can order your ticket. You can also order your ticket for the Bash. The Bash is on the 4th of July next year. So get onto the website and order your ticket, £25, and that will get you everything you need for the entire day. And you know what date it is now, so no excuse for not booking early. Mm-mm-mm. There we go. Right. We've had some feedback. We haven't had any reviews on iTunes. Thank you to those people who have normally given us reviews on iTunes. We've had one from the United Arab Emirates, though, on the Mac Show, which we read out this afternoon, which was excellent. I've had two emails. First one's from Simon Dickinson. And he references the email that we got from Stephen Chambers last week on the Mac Show. He says, "Dear Ewan, while some of what the feedback left by Stephen last week may be true, I for one find the mix of drunken old wankers and tech a heady one and enjoy listening to your incompetent ramblings immensely whilst driving to work each week."
Who's he referring to about drunken old wankers?
Awesome. I couldn't say.
Well, especially for me because it's freaking like 10 o'clock in the morning.
And we also had one from Ian Cuthbertson. Thank you, Ian, for writing in. "Hi, Ewan. Listening to the comments of Stephen on last week's Mac Show, I must disagree. I find the Mac Show both entertaining and enlightening. It's the big show that's boozly and largely pointless." And he's put a cheeky smiley on there. So
what's his point?
He gets away with it. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah.
If you've got a review,
welcome to my world.
If you've got a review, please stick it in iTunes or send us an email and we'll read it out. Good or bad, we don't care. We read all the one stars out as much as the five stars. We do appreciate them. Please, please, please be civil. Start with a salutation, as those gentlemen did there. "Dear Ewan, hi Ewan." That's fine. That's all we need. But anyway, this drunken old wanker must move on. The week in tech, what have we got for us? Come on, someone's got to have a kick-ass story to kick us off. Oh, Kelly's arm straight up. She's in. Go on, girl.
Misa. Yes, 10 years ago, they shot a spacecraft at a comet and hoped. And yesterday, it landed on a comet going hundreds of miles an hour, thousands of miles an hour, landed on a comet.
800,000 or something like that.
Half a light hour away from Earth.
Yeah, it's amazing. 10 years ago, they launched this thing and went, we're going to try and launch it now and have it catch up with this comet so that we can land it, so that we can launch part of the craft to land on the comet so that we can learn more about the comet.
Well, it landed. It didn't crash. It landed. It didn't crash.
Yeah, it landed, which is what they wanted it to do. And they landed it.
Yeah, good on. Now then, who did it, Kelly?
It was not NASA.
No!
No, it was Hollywood.
No.
Good one, Steve.
It was filmed in a warehouse in Pasadena.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. It wasn't made in Hollywood, but it does star Bruce Willis. No. So it was, I want to say ESA. It was a conjunction of a bunch of people, but it's ESA, which I think is the European Space Agency.
Yes, right. That's right.
So it's like a conglomerate of a bunch of different countries who all worked together.
It was the Germans that did it, says Drellgood in the chat room. I got a tweet yesterday, which I retweeted, jeez, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And it was Fox News headline, what on earth are NASA doing wasting money sending a spaceship to a comet?
Oh, my God.
And the next line was, actually, it was the European Space Agency. And the next line was, Fox News, why didn't the Americans do this first?
That's so Fox.
And that kind of sums it up. Absolutely sums Fox News up, and it sums up everything associated with it. I've got to say, I haven't seen any pictures, but have you seen the kind of comparison shots? How big the comet is compared to things on Earth?
I love the one where they compare it to Starfleet spacecraft.
Yes.
And a Borg cube.
The Borg cube's huge.
Babylon 5, I think. Maybe.
Isn't the Borg cube huge? Because
a Borg cube is huge, but the comet is still bigger.
Well, it is, but it's like 3/4 of it, isn't it? It's pretty huge.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't realize how big Deep Space Nine was.
Damn big.
But yeah, all the Star Trek ships are on there. But this thing's as wide as LA, isn't it?
Something like that. It's massive.
It's 3 kilometers or 3 miles across or something like that. It's enormous. So, Kelly, did they actually successfully land without crashing?
Yes, but it didn't land where they wanted it to. And so there's something about, like, it has solar panels to power it. And so the last that I heard, they were trying to figure out how it was going to charge to get enough juice to get to where they wanted it to go on the comet.
Right. So they want it to take off again.
No, they want it. It's like a rover. They want it to like roll around and take samples and stuff.
Well, actually, no, it's supposed to stay in one place and it's supposed to be bolted down. And the problem the cables that were supposed to deploy and stick into the ground and then the screws that come out of the bottom of the feet, none of that deployed. So it hit the ground and bounced. Okay. And so what they're looking or what they're considering doing is using the arms that are on the thing to give it a push and pop it up into the air and see if they can get it to bounce again back over generally into the area that they want. So they're kind of turning it into a rover, but that's not what it is.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm confusing it with another mission, which is something that they're sending to Mars, because last week I was at MacTech, which is why I wasn't around on BTN, and I was talking to engineers from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory who are prepping a thing to go to Mars, which is going to be rovery. So yeah, they got it. They did get it to do some testing before they left.
And isn't that a British one? Because that's actually looking for life, isn't it? It's another British come European. Yeah, see?
So potentially more colonies for the Empire.
British Empire expanding. We'll have a roving reporter on the Rosetta Comet thing and Mars within 10 years.
And it's going to be narrated by Stephen Fry.
Studio.
Yes. If it's not narrated by Stephen Fry, you have to quit.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like Pixar didn't happen. It's like for British shows, it's Stephen Fry or it didn't happen.
Yes.
Oh, that's not fair.
He's the best voiceover dude in the entire freaking planet.
Well, Stephen Fry.
There's absolutely no reason that Stephen Fry should not be the voice of Siri in the UK. The end.
I agree. Period. I agree, absolutely.
I have always said, if I could get a combination of Stephen Fry and Morgan Freeman to just basically narrate everything around me, kind of like AR, I look at this, and it's like, what you're looking at here is a building.
Which one's that, Linda?
It's a combination.
Oh, right. I got you.
It's like the perfect combination of Stephen Freeman, what I would call it, or Morgan Fry.
Freeman.
I don't know. But like, I want some audio specialist, somebody out there who's listening, who's a real good audio guy, find a way to get the same script to both of those guys. Generate that into like a Siri language or a computer language. Or what's that new chick name? Alexia, whoever. Yo, computer-based speech-to-text recognition, shut the F down if we can get a combination voice of Morgan Fry.
You know who could do that? Would be the guy that does the voice for Jeff Peterson, Josh Robert Thompson, because he does both those voices.
See? There you go.
He does a really good Morgan Freeman.
I can prove it. Because those two voices will calm you down in the heart. No matter what you're listening to, you're changing stations, right? And you know the thing when you hold a button and just watch the changes fly? As soon as it gets past anything with Stephen Fry, the thing just stops and you go, well, that's interesting. And he's talking about the zits that grows in the back of a gnat's nuts. And you're like, you're intrigued. You're like, I didn't even know gnats had nuts.
That must be a bit of an American thing, I have to say. Because whilst I admire Stephen Fry greatly, and I have conversed with him on Twitter, he doesn't do that for me quite to that level.
Well, you know what it is, right? Somebody said to me, one of the reasons, besides being a great guy, one of the reasons why like Americans love the tutorial, say, done by Don McAllister, because listening to lessons in another voice, another country's voice, somehow adds a little bit of more validity to it. And I often wondered if that plays the same, because on my tutorials on YouTube, my biggest comments and my biggest interactions come from people who don't live in the U.S., and part of that is most of us are dicks and we can't be nice to each other. But the other part of it is I think maybe that stands true. When you listen to a tutorial in another person's accent, maybe it sticks more in your head. I don't know if that's true or not. Anybody else got thoughts on that?
I think it's because it's not the same. I mean, it's the same language, but it's not the same accent. So you end up paying more attention is my theory. I just think it sounds pleasing because when you're an American and you listen to a British person tell you something, you just believe it as the God's honest truth. And maybe it's just because I started with Darth Vader as my first exposure to an English accent. I don't know.
So you're saying that because it's somebody of a different accent, you believe it's the God honest truth as opposed to somebody speaking in a different accent?
No, he did. She did say British. So if you
British.
Speak any other accent, you're talking out your ass. But you're talking British, you must be right. I go with that. Steve, Steve, don't push it. Shut up,
like,
dude.
Like I can listen to Patrice say things to me in his German accent. Patrice is Dr. Allgood in the chat room, by the way. When he says things to me in his German accent, it makes more sense. When Jerome says the same thing to me in English, although he's fluent in German, I'm like, Jerome, I don't believe you. Let me ask Patrice. I think it's a thing. I think you're on it. And the Aussie accent also does work because my first experience was probably Olivia Newton-John.
What, you had sex with Olivia Newton-John?
With Olivia Newton-John.
You had sex with Olivia Newton-John? In Xanadu?
Here, let me demonstrate.
And this is why Doc is our hero.
Wow.
Dude!
Well, she had the jacket on.
Oh, that
he doesn't mean that.
Oh, no! You can't do that on this show!
Can I ask a question about the Rosetta missions?
For God's sake, get us off tissue and lubricant. Yes, go ahead.
That was lighter fluid for like putting in a Zippo.
Whatever floats your boat, Doc. Go on.
Never mind, Steve.
Steve, do the question about Rosetta. Move on, please.
Why, in 1969, we could fly to the moon with people and land people on the moon and go round and walk around the moon with people in 1969, and then in the iPhone probably had more capacity than the whole computing power of the whole of NASA to send that probe to 1969. Totally. And now we're getting excited about the Rosetta that's landing on a comet, and it's like so many years later, but there's...
Because the comet has a totally different orbit, and they had to launch it 10 years ago and guess that they were going to be able to hit something that moved way faster with something way smaller. Like, the margin of error is way higher than this than something else, like the moon.
That's maths, though. You get maths right or wrong.
That is just maths.
Yeah, but that's part of the awesomeness. They flew a probe half a light hour away from Earth, took it 10 years, and they did it all with math.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Right.
No, they did it all with maths. There's an S on the end. Mathematics.
Yeah, but you get maths right or wrong.
It was the European Space Agency, so it was more than one math.
It wasn't an O-level math. It wasn't an A-level math. It wasn't a grade 16 math, a grade 18 math. There was a lot of math that
there was
they put
two
in to make that work.
At least. No, The thing is as well, though, the significance of this mission, as far as I understand it, and I'll gladly stand corrected, is that this comet goes back to the dawn of our solar system. The stuff that's floating around in there is kind of like 2.5-3 billion years old, and it flies out through the Oort cloud in its loop. So this thing's going to be attached to it. Now, the mission finishes in December 2015, allegedly, but I reckon this thing's still going to be able to send something back. So I think you're going to see pictures coming back from Rosetta for maybe another 10 years, potentially.
Yeah, and can you imagine if it hadn't been NASA, we would have missed because we use Imperial instead of metric, and so it's not as accurate.
Well, the reason that the shuttle missions had to fold was they couldn't reproduce the solid rocket booster because all the measurements in it were Imperial.
There you go.
And all the suppliers were converted to metric. There you go.
Yep.
That's why. I got to say, Kelly, of all of the things that has happened in space over the last couple of years, Curiosity has captured my attention. And, of course, Ground Control to Major Tom. Hadfield.
Chris Hadfield.
And
David Bowie.
And this.
Oh.
Rosetta have captured my imagination, absolutely. I love me space stuff, but...
Just to make sure that it's still a silly program, because this is... the big show. There's a Twitter account called Sarcastic Rover that you should totally investigate.
Okay.
That is an awesome account.
It's pretty fantastic.
Excellent. Just want to make a point here. Batwench in the chat room. Batwench in the chat room has two things. Number one, from the exclamation mark, I don't think she ever knew that Olivia Newton-John was Australian.
What?
Trust me, Doc's tissues did. And Batwench has also put, I've just booked the travel lodge for the bash in July next year. Total price for two nights for two of us, £56.
Good Lord.
There you go. Is that 28 quid?
90 bucks?
28 quid. No, Christ, that's not even 50 bucks.
It's 150.
It's 28, well, 50 quid, and it's 50 bucks a night. It's not 150. It's about $90.
That's what I just said. Was it 90 bucks? What the hell?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm for both of them. Yeah, sorry. I was going on one night. One night is £28, which I was going like, that's like 50 bucks-ish, maybe. 45, 50 bucks. So, yeah. So, for two nights at the travel lodge over the road from me, it is B36, that's the postcode that you want. It is £56 at the moment, $90. There you go. Kelly, you coming?
I would like to, but not yet.
Oh, Jeff, coming?
Working on it.
I'm hoping so. I am seeing if I can work out the scheduling and the budget to make it happen.
And Doc's definitely coming.
Maybe we should do a Kickstarter to get money so I can come over.
Yeah, we
that's
could do
a good idea.
Hey,
we should make a thing called Drunk Starter, and so you get people to pay money to take you to fly to a foreign country to get effed up with Ron Rankin.
Rattle. Sold. I'll put $5 into that, dude. Got to drink beer with my brother. Who's got another story? Great story, Kelly. Kicked us off beautifully there. Glad you shot your hand up like you wouldn't believe. Next in, the dark turn.
All right, so I'm going in because I am told that I'm going to have to keep my hands off my fruit. So if you're going to do that, you must go counter-opposite. And I like to hashtag this one as, this is not your father's Microsoft. Microsoft takes the .NET platform and open sourced it, making super cross-platform, including coming out with .NET for Linux and Mac. So they just dropped something that is not like them. First of all, Visual Studio now free to everybody. Just go in and do that. And that was something that I was forced to learn in school, and I kind of tweaked on it, and it drove me nuts because I always wanted to do, you know, like Cocoa programming. But I think it's a big, big deal and a big step in the right direction for Microsoft. And I think it proves that such a Nutella is, you guys catch that? Such a Nutella.
I got you, brother. Name. Yeah.
Well, I think that he is kind of going and prove that he's willing to be different, and he's willing to take Microsoft in directions that they hadn't gone so in the past. And I think one of the first moves, especially if you want to spread into the enterprise, knowing that your tablet is kind of sucking wind, is just open up your platform so that your software, which you are really good at, spreads open to more people. So I think it's kind of a big deal. I'm looking forward to being able to drop Visual Studio and play with .NET framework on a Mac box or a Linux box. And I mean, they just really prove that they're in the game to stay by first fixing the Office apps so they actually work, making them work properly on all the devices that they work on, and they're now doing this. So I thought it was kind of a big news.
I agree. I mean, I posed a question this afternoon on the Mac Show, which kind of, I felt it kind of went on deaf ears, to be honest. No one really answered it. And I was going back to Jeff's point last week. I'm sorry to Ashley as well that we didn't publish the show last week, but the audio was just horrific. We couldn't do anything. Jeff made a point last week that with the release of the Microsoft Band, this is not the Microsoft of his youth. This is not the Microsoft he grew up with. Absolutely, totally agree. Couldn't agree more, Jeff, with you. And I posed a question that's, I don't believe for one second that Apple is intimidated by any corporation, let alone Microsoft, but there has to have been a conversation in the Apple boardroom or at the high-level senior management of Apple that's like, we need to keep our eyes open, because this guy, in just a short space of time, has done some things which clearly shows that Microsoft is intending to come back at us with a complete... It's almost like they're coming from left field here to kind of sort us out, because he's done a lot of stuff that is way, way, way different from the previous business model.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, they would nickel and dime you about certain libraries into the .NET thing. And there was things where you need to have your MSDN subscription, and only with the MSDN subscription could you get to this. They're doing things like BizSpark, where they're giving you all of their software for free. They're doing things like opening up Azure instances for as long as you want until you're ready to deploy. And once you're ready to deploy, they say, we'll charge you when you get to a certain level. But that certain level is kind of high enough that you may never have to pay them. They're doing things like putting .NET on GitHub. Like, that's unheard of. Now, if they were geared around to pulling the Apple move, and sorry to use that word in this show, but do things like take the price of Windows down to like sub $20 or free, which might happen soon from looking at the way that they're doing things, I think, oh, all bets are off. Now we got competition back. And like Kelly always says, this is great. This is great for all parties involved.
Yeah.
Because all operating systems, for the most part, should be relatively open and free. Let the software providers take care of that. It's almost like the freeway, right?
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I think this is awesome. I look forward to it. Maybe somebody will be able to... The thing about .NET is that a lot of people weren't really into it, you know, unless they had to be for one reason or another. So I'm hoping that it turns out to be something really awesome. I can't wait to see what people can do with it now that just anybody can get their hands on it. Now, granted, the great thing about this is that anybody can go muck around in .NET. And of course, the terrible thing is that anybody can go muck around in .NET. So we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, like Doc said, I have said forever, this should be awesome. I really can't wait to see what Microsoft ends up doing next. This is really cool.
One of the cool things about it being open source, though, is that allows for somebody like me to come in and fork one so I can make a dock net and like spit it out there just so everybody can use my version. And it will just, all the code will have parts where you need to drink while you're programming.
Drink. And I suppose there are recommended types of sake for different kinds of coding.
Exactly.
I would hope so.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
What would you drink for coding?
You need
Python?
To go buy that domain name right now.
What,
if only there were an easy, convenient way for you to register a domain name. If only we knew some way that you could do this easily and effectively.
Oh, yeah,
that's just crazy talk, Kelly.
UKT.net. UKT.net. I'm trying to do it so subliminally.
You know those beautiful, shameless product placements when you're watching TV? That was epically executed.
That wasn't it. The Network Union has had a few sales off advertising on BTN, but someone cropped up yesterday and tweeted out, and I was like, great, fantastic, glad that you love TNU. And I got an email from Robert today saying, never even knew they came from British Tech.
Oh, no.
And you're like, what? That's the whole point. So if you've used the Network Union, it appears there are customers out there who've used the Network Union because they heard of them through British Tech Network, but they haven't told the Network Union. So please, if you use the Network Union, do tell the Network Union that you came through us.
How does that e-insurance commercial go, Kelly? That's how this works.
That's not how any of this works. Yeah.
Please do tell.
Oh, my God. Candy Crush? That one is killing me right now.
Dude, that is so funny.
I love that.
I'll send you a link to it. So you guys can know what we're talking about, you and I'll send you a link. It's pretty funny.
I'm not. Anyway, okay.
Big ups to Microsoft for just growing up. And I am pleasantly surprised. Yeah. And I know that Mr. Rankin is on this. I'm looking forward to see what this 5x5x5 thing is, the Lumia 535. I haven't seen photos of it yet, but I just heard about it in passing, and I'm very interested in to see what's happening with that.
I'm not necessarily a total devotee of the iPhone. I've got to say, I hate the OS. I still would rather go back to the Windows OS, but the video is what kills it. I just love the video quality. I love the 720p, 240 frames a second.
And that 240 frames a second. I got some excellent pictures of my friend Jerome and us jumping off of this cruise ship into the ocean in slow-mo. And it is pretty, pretty epic. And one of the guys decided to feed these things we call triggerfish, which are basically the cockroaches of the sea. And he was holding the bread too close to his face, and his school of like 100 fish just attacked his face, and I got it all in slow-mo. Oh, my God.
So you took the iPhone underwater?
No, I was holding it on the boat. I'm not that dumb.
Oh, okay.
They don't have any good waterproof cases I trust yet.
I've got to say, I noticed that there's a lack of accessories for the 6 and 6 Plus. By this point of time... I'm not wishing to turn this into the Mac show, obviously, but by this time with the 5S and 5, there was a plethora of stuff had come out. But
the 5S was the same form factor as the 5, though. People had a year to kind of get...
Well, no, even with the 5
Whatever they were selling could also be used on the 5S.
But even from 4S to 5...
I think the secret to that is they kept the extra large one quieter than any other product they released in a long time, so they were able, everyone just kind of caught that one by surprise. They knew nothing. However, I did just come from China, so I watched all of the guys that are got stuff ready to come out, and now it's about, that 30 to 60 day cycle until we get it. So they're coming, but they're definitely behind schedule, and that was directly from the factory and designer guys. They're like, yo, we didn't know, and normally we get leaks all over, but they didn't know. That one was well kept secret.
So I just want to say,
are you talking about Apple, Mr. Rankin?
No, we're not. It was a figment of your imagination.
No. I'm okay with kind of like, if you're talking about Windows, you can counterpoint it with some information about Apple. But I just don't want to turn this into the Mac show. That's all.
Well, yeah,
I've been very excited to see that
people on the panel. Bloggers on the panel, which is even more fun.
No, but Jeffrey gets... No, I'm not having that, because Jeffrey has been on this show for 2 years now, and he gets the idea of not talking about Apple, and he's the bloody chief editor of the Mac Observer, for Christ's sake.
I bet he loves it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I bring weird stuff here.
We've had Andy Inatko on the show. Yeah, he loves the mermite and sex thing
that I found on Facebook.
What?
The mermite and sex thing?
Mermite and Sex Toys is a group on Facebook, and I texted it to Jeff.
You're kidding me.
Mermite.
What?
Sex. What am I typing? Facebook. What? Mermite?
No, it's called Souter's House of Sheep, Mermite and Exotic Sex Toys. It's a real thing. And I had to send it to Jeff because I just happened to be just trying to crack a joke and Google it. I thought I would come up with nothing, and it actually came up with something. I was like, oops.
Mama on cheese on toast.
Find it as an ad on Adult Google. Sheep Finder?
It's probably really there.
That's just jacked up, Kelly.
I should say as well.
You think I'm kidding.
Marmite on cheese on toast is gorgeous as well.
Is that an acronym?
No.
I think you mean euphemism.
Sorry.
No, Marmite on cheese on toast is gorgeous. I've just Googled Marmite sex toys, and the first return is Marmite pickled herring and other stuff from lovehoney.co.uk. And the guy starts talking about Marmite on cheese on toast is lovely, and it is lovely. It's right up there with the eggs on cheese on toast, or eggs on toast rather. And so this is a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like how easy it is to derail this show. Can we get back to what we're supposed to be doing?
I don't want to go and join any swingers, but Souter's House of Sheep, Marmite and Exotic Sex Toys is a Facebook group. It might pull me back to Facebook group. Who knows?
Is anyone tempted by the Amazon Fire HD 6?
No. I'm tempted by the Kindle Voyager. Voyager,
and I ordered a Fire Stick. And I kind of want one of those Alexia things. And I don't know why, because it's kind of creepy.
I kind of want the stick because I kind of feel like maybe it would be cool. But I don't get a truckload of mileage out of the Chromecast I already have. So I don't know how great it would be. It might be a nice replacement. Well, it's only really good if you have Amazon Prime, right?
Which I do.
Yeah, but if you have the Amazon Fire HD 6, if you have Amazon Prime, for £99 or for the 16 gig or £79, at £99 for 16 gig.
Which is cheaper than a year of Prime, right?
Yeah.
But you have to buy Prime on top, obviously. But your Prime videos like Netflix, you get your access
to... Yeah, but I thought it came with a year. Am I high?
No.
It may
do in the UK, but it may do in the US, but not in the UK. Yeah, I think it's amazing, and particularly for kids. And also it has really good kid control. So you can set it so that you can access the videos so long as you've done half an hour of this app or this app, so that if the kid wakes up in the morning and wants to play a bit, yeah, you can do your videos after you've done a half an hour of this educational app or whatever. I think it's taking it to a different level in terms of offering a different sales pitch than the Apple, which is really expensive.
Yeah, certainly.
It comes with a free month of Amazon Prime, Kel.
1 month.
Oh, just a month? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the phone came with a year, and I thought for some reason that the tablet did too. I'm just probably confused. Maybe it used to, but now that they've gone HD, that's not the case anymore.
Prime, or you don't understand Prime, or you just think that it's too expensive for the way that you use Amazon. See, for me, it's brilliant because the shipping to Hawaii is like $30 for some tissue and lighter fluid. But with Prime, three orders covers my entire shipping. So now I can just buy stuff on Prime and whatever, and it's free shipping. But if you have the ability to take a weekend class at your local uni and get yourself a .edu email address, you can get like 2 years of Prime for free for being a student. So do yourself a favor and learn some shit and get free Prime.
That's good enough to repay.
See, that's a life hack.
So you can sign up for a two-week course.
That totally is.
A two-week course on photography.
Yeah, but you got to make sure that the uni gives you a .edu address. Now, there are a metric crap ton of iTunes U classes that require you to register at the school so they can know that the iTunes U thing is working, or also EDX 90 or whatever they call it. So you sign up for that. They're going to give you an address, And now you have an email address that you basically forward back to your Gmail. And then you go sign up amazon.com/prime/student. Hello? Why do you not have Prime?
And then cancel.
There's 9,000 universities in Portland, Kelly. Walk across the street and ask them, can I have an email address?
You Google that, dude. 9,000. You knew that straight off the top of your head. You Googled that.
No, because other reason, why do they have so much beers and strippers? Because of college students.
Portland famous for strippers.
It's because it rains a lot. Inside activities here.
Well, hey!
Whoa. Not that kind of show.
No, that's
where the brewing beer and the strip clubs come from. We spend a lot of time inside. Can't you tell?
Yeah. There's Stumptown and there's slightly growing Stumptown, and that's Portland.
Moving on. I just showed a picture there of the Amazon Fire HD6 just to supplement Steve's story. There you go, Steve.
So the... Now, Amazon came out with a bunch of stuff kind of on the low, didn't they? Just sort of like haul off and launch?
In the last week, they have launched so many new things. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah, because like the stick was a new thing that we didn't really, there wasn't a lot of fanfare for most of this.
Yes, Kindle Fire HD Kids Edition, the Kindle Fire HD 6, a new updated Kindle Fire 7, the Kindle Stick, and that weird thing that Alexa, whatever her name is, that sits on your desk, Echo or something.
Like, and just all listens of that literally just to dropped you in, like, all the time. Right?
Excuse me?
Just listens to you. That's all she does, right?
Yeah, she's actually cooler than Siri, but and Cortana, but that's in theory because it doesn't ship until next week or something.
Have you got an Alexa? No, it's next week.
Next week.
I like it. There's part of me wants Alexa, definitely.
Same here. I don't know why. It's bothering me.
I'm not sure why you would want it either, because Amazon's just listening all the time. And while there's probably nothing bad in that, just the notion that this thing is listening to everything I'm saying, I don't know what's going to start showing up at my house. Like, what products will I be ordering without even realizing
it? Jeff, that's because
I think we have a good idea what sort of products will start showing up.
Exactly. We know your psyche, mate, so we know exactly what's going to be showing up.
But can you imagine the day that you come home with your boss because, you know, you invite the boss over for dinner and you walk in and Alexa, Echo, whatever the heck her name is, goes out, Mr. Boyd, it seems to me that you're low on Kleenex and lighter fluid.
Can we just describe what this is for people who are listening and maybe don't know what it is?
They listened to the show 2 weeks ago and I know exactly.
Well, no, they couldn't because we didn't post it because all the audio crapped up. Yeah,
that's
right. So the Alexa is a tube that stands up in your house, and it's got a speaker system as well, so you can play audio through it. But you can ask it questions, just like a Siri. So you go, but instead of having to press a button, you can just say its name. So you say, Alexa, how do you spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? And it tells you. And I think there's a bit of, maybe that it's mixed in with Wolfram Alpha, because if you went and said, right, Alexa, what is 6 + 3 × 7 × 14 × whatever, I reckon it would give you the answer. So,
yeah. So the thing is called an Echo, but the lady inside the thing is known as Alexa.
Well, you can set up your own chant to get her going, if you like. So if you want to call her Samantha, you can say, hey, Samantha, what is, or you can say, hey,
Diane.
Diane, or hey, Doc, what is, and you set the call up yourself.
So. That is dope. I definitely need one because I'm going to name it Morgan Fry.
Well, hey, Morgan Fry, what I need you to do, Doc, is order me one. I'll PayPal you the money and then you send it over so that I've got one in the UK so I can road test it. Because it won't give a toss about IP.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to credit another podcast, No Agenda, with this comment, but I can guarantee that this thing, because it's listening continuously, and you know what Amazon are like, if you search for black tights, it'll then start showing you different types of black tights on your profile. If you start talking about black tights in the house, it will then start advertising black tights on your profile before you've even typed black tights into your computer. If you talk about, oh, we're going down to the Play School, it will start showing you Play School apps. Listening all the time, and it'll then try and sell you more stuff, won't it, in accordance with your conversation?
And you guys all need right, to respect so Steve's life choices with his black sites.
I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I asked one of my friends, because there's a recent survey done in the U.S., and it talked about people and their privacy and what they're afraid of. And it turned out that 89% of the respondents said they're afraid of advertisers having all their information because their advertisers are going to try to sell them stuff. And I'm like, that sounds really freaky. But you know what the optimum word in that sentence was? Try. If you try to sell me chicken livers, I'm not going to buy them because I hate chicken livers.
Thanks for the editing, Doc.
Sorry, I said
F. Yeah.
But the thing about it is like, people can try to sell you anything. The guy on the block always tries to sell me crack, but I don't smoke crack. I just ignore him. But so why do anybody care that someone's going to try to sell you something? Unless you're really weak constitution, and every time somebody tries to sell you something, you buy it, then you have a different problem. So I don't care that they try to sell me stuff. I'm only going to buy what I like.
Yeah.
And I think that's everybody. So it's kind of a dumb thing to be afraid of. It's like being afraid of the sky falling.
No, we said today on the Matt Show that the thing that pisses me off about that kind of algorithm with purchases is it's not intelligent enough, and it's not hard. If I've looked at something, after 2 weeks, stop showing it me, for Christ's sake, because I probably bought it.
So how do you make it intelligent, though? You have to let it keep learning, and the only way to let it keep learning is to let it keep listening.
Yeah,
so the solve for this is Echo.
This is, well, this is things tied to your Amazon account if you've got Prime. And if you've got Prime and you say, I want to order some dishwasher tablets, you know, Alexa will come back and say, perhaps, okay, which brand do you want? Who knows? But that would be great. Or she does shopping lists, doesn't she? So you say, add this to my shopping list. And I got to say, Paul Wheatley, he's in the chat room, and I hate the fact that he introduced me to Subscribe and Save, because it's a pain in the arse, because it's so bloody good. It's fantastic. But the problem is, I've got 24 boxes of optical lens wipes up there that I haven't got through yet, because I put the frequency up to too friggin' high.
Nice.
We're drowning.
Here's what's really funny about what you just said, and now I have to take back everything I just said to Steve. So I hit my Amazon page right now, and because I looked at stupid Echo device, at the bottom, recommended based on your browsing history, is they want me to buy the movie Earth to Echo, which has nothing to do with the freaking device. Okay, I take it all back.
That's awesome.
Chat room's chipping in here, and I've got to go right the way back. You and I'm in college, and people who work at maths do that in a flash to decimal places. I didn't put any decimals in, but there you go. Would Alexa order an abacus for Ewan? Really? Amazon says, thank you for your request. Thanks, Doc. What was the other thing I've put there? Does BTN stand for Black Tights Network? Where the hell did that come from? Is that the strippers thing? I don't know.
Because we're talking about Steve's black tights.
Steve's got black tights? Did I miss that?
The whole Only thing about how because Steve I've was got shopping pants for on. Black tights on Amazon, where were you? Respect his life choices, but no, where were you?
I got to say, I listen back to all the shows, every show on the network when I'm driving, and I sometimes listen back to the shows that I'm on, and I can't believe I was actually there.
Is this a denial thing?
No, some of them it's like I'm listening to it the first time. People will say stuff, I'm like, I never heard that, because I'm busy doing something else or watching the chat room or changing something or picking up a picture, and I haven't heard what anyone said. So
okay, that's actually awesome. And usually, a challenge.
Usually when we go through the picks, I have no frigging clue what you guys have said. That's why I come back with, yeah, that's a great pick, well done, thank you very much. Next. Sorry. 24 boxes of wipes. Is that the next Patreon donation prize? There is a Patreon donation prize coming up. I promise you there is. I have it down here, but I can't show it yet because they haven't put the page up. But it is a super, super cool prize, and you're going to have an iOS device to use it.
Cool.
Know what I'm saying? Paul Wheatley says, subscribe and save. FTW. Steve-O, did you bring us a story, or would you rather I went to Jeff?
What? I've had a story. I talked about the Amazon thing.
Oh, that was your story, was it?
That was a story, yeah.
Oh, okay. See what I mean? I didn't even hear that. There we go. Jeffrey, what's your story?
Talking about for the last 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
I love this
show. I'm joking. Jeffrey, what's your story, dude?
All right. My story actually isn't silly or funny this week. It's kind of creepy. And this is...
Jeff, your stories are kind of creepy every week.
Yeah, but not in the fun, creepy way this time. Okay, so it turns out that ISPs have been intentionally stripping the encryption out of our emails. So in many cases, people, without even realizing it's happening, are sending emails that they think are secure, but it's just clear and open text that everyone can read. And I will drop this, a link to this from the EFF, into the chat.
Right.
So people can check it out. And for residential users, there's a very high likelihood that that your email is not encrypted, even though you think it is. Which is that's kind of a what the hell thing.
So this is only in the US and Thailand at the moment,
right? So when I say you, I mean like me and Kelly and Doc.
So
what if you use a web server like if you only use webmail client like Gmail and Zoho? Does it have to?
Well, it looks like Google is not doing this, but so if you're using a server like Gmail, you're probably okay. But for a lot of servers that are just being handled through ISPs, there's a likelihood that the encryption is being shut down.
Your Verizon, your Comcast, your Time Warner, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah, and people don't know, and apparently this isn't news that's concerning to a lot of people, because this report from the EFF came out on the 11th. Today's the 14th, and I didn't even know about this until last night.
I
told you it wasn't a fun story.
A booker has made it into one. In the chat room, he's gone on about black tights yet again. And then he said, ISPs are stripping. Do I pay in dollars?
Yes, you do. And if you're starting with pound sterling, you're getting more for your money.
$1.50, $1.50. We've had quite a lot of changes in the UK recently for my ISP blipped out on Friday, and it looked like at the end of the day, it was like a planned outage. I don't know whether it was or it wasn't, but, this is pretty serious stuff. Surely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's quite surprising that people just don't seem to care in this country. Although I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because the complacency that people tend to have in the United States towards privacy.
Well, who would even know?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, yeah,
unless
there you,
you
go.
Read who, this who would article, know?
Because
who knows?
Most people probably are not checking out what articles are showing up on the EFF website on a regular basis. And actually, most Americans probably don't even know there is such an organization.
But yeah, no, the EFF does a great job. I'm trying to read the story as we're going on here, because this is the first I've heard about it. But
see, it's just one of those things that isn't being talked about.
It is important that ISPs immediately stop the removal of their customer security measures. ISPs act as trusted gateways to the global internet. It's a violation of that trust to intercept or modify the client traffic, regardless of what protocol their customers are using. It's a double violation when such modification disables security measures the customers use in order to protect themselves. That is...
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, we always go on about the fact that the last line of security is yourself. But if you've taken the time and effort to put security measures in place for your email, and your ISP then just strips them away arbitrarily, that's a very serious issue. I mean, EFF is the right body to get involved with that, most definitely.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy. Now, if you're running PGP, then you're okay, because that's independent of your ISP. But But sadly, PGP isn't widely used. So if you're hoping that you're going to be able to send an encrypted email to everyone, well, then you need to use protocols that everyone is using. And unfortunately, PGP just isn't that.
Good story.
Yeah, it's kind of, honestly, strangely enough, right now, the safest way to send any type of simple communications back and forth to people is probably iMessage, because at least it's double-end encrypted and nobody can get it open.
But then again, it's true. iMessage.
Huh?
But then again, it's iMessage.
Yeah, what's that mean?
Oh, iMessage is horrible. I hate it.
For most people, you know, Doc, it's held together by baling wire and bubble gum.
But that baling wire and bubble gum is
on
secure.
A good day.
It's not rockets. So I'll take the secure baling wire and bubble gum versus the Bentley that's like, you know, telling everybody your secrets as you drive down the road.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, granted, you can't send long form stuff, so that doesn't really work. But maybe what you can do is provide a link to an encrypted document somewhere online that someone can read. And then you guys can, you know, collaborate on a document using some sort of collaborative service. I mean, you're right. There's email has been really jacked up for a long time. Let's just get that straight. And it is really an antiquated way to communicate, but there's not an easy option that's easy for everyone else to use. And, you know, there's nice collaborative tools out there like Basecamp and some other, you know, things out there. But for the most part, they're not muggle friendly. So currently everyone uses email, but email has gotten to the point where it's a pain in the butt. I mean, it's like driving through Boston. You got to deal with the spammers and we have a commission check waiting for you. Just click here. Or yes, I'm Amazon. I need to let you know something, but it's not Amazon. It's some Marmite and Sex Toys Facebook group sending you a spam. And I mean, there's just so much headache you have to go to deal with proper email. And really, like, kind of sort of the only people that have it somewhat right are Gmail, but people don't like that because they advertise you the things that are in your email. So I'm like, it's a really jacked up field right now, and there's no decent solution in sight.
Yeah, well, and it doesn't help that email, when it was first invented, was not intended to be a secure communication system. That was something that people realized later on, oh, crap, we kind of need to make that happen. So that's really been essentially just bolted on to what email is. And of course, it was never designed to send attachments. It's become this cobbled together system of communication.
Well, that's a state of the art, though, isn't it? You know, if you've taken that thing and made it into that thing, then that thing has to perform as that thing.
True.
Otherwise, it doesn't exist. In, you know, it isn't a thing.
I think everyone's afraid to scrap it and rebuild the code, because that would mean rebuilding all the server base and rebuilding the way people do it and teaching people all this stuff. But clearly, somebody has to jump in the game and just do it. It's never going to get fixed until it's done correctly. And that's sort of like payments, you know, like finally we're getting to the point where NFC payments, you know, between Google Wallet and the other thing pay are starting to work properly. So it's like somebody had to go and recreate it. I think that's where we are with email right now. Somebody has to jump in the game and recreate it as it is intended to be today. The lingua franca, for lack of a better term.
Okay, that's fine. We shall do that. Lingua franca. What a great way to end it.
Sorry to bring everyone down with that one.
Is that Latin? It's French? Latin?
It's French.
French, Latin.
But Jeff, I always say the first line of security is awareness. So knowing that that's a thing that's happening is something that people can be aware of. So, yeah.
That's true.
So on the one hand, it's sort of good because now we know. So,
And knowing is half the battle.
Exactly.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. If you've got SIPs, MPLS, WAN, any of that kind of stuff, then these are the people that you want to talk to. So get in touch with them through britishnetwork.com/sponsors and send them your details. They'll get back in touch with you and they will solve your problems once and for all. And if you're an existing customer who's got service through TNU and you didn't bloody tell them you came from BTN, for Christ's sake, send them a message. Thank you to Five and a Bike who did that and got their stuff through the Mac Show and didn't tell TNU that they were a customer from us. So there you go. If you're a consultant working in the organization, if you can send through the name of the decision maker, then fantastic. Thank you very much. If you can't, then pass on the name of the TNU people to Robert at the organization that you're at, and then just let TNU know that you sent their information forward, which is what Lee Garrett's been doing when he's been doing consultancy and that kind of stuff in local education establishments. He's passed it on. TNU are great. They've supported us for a long time now. Please, please, please support them. And also, UK2, they're doing great guns off us. We love them to bits. They love us to bits. We got everything going for us. We've got unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth, everything that you want. The server that we have would cost us between £400 and £500 a month, and they pick up the charge for that every single month without fail. And you can get every episode we've ever produced as British Tech Network, and even some of the Bagel Tech ones going back to a long ways back. So please, please, please support UK2. Buy your service off them. Batwench had a support request this week. I think she's in the chat room, and I think she tweeted out saying how good it was. And I've had a couple of other people who are saying absolutely superb. Paul Wheatley says this every time he does a show. They go above and beyond when it comes to tech support, and they are absolutely superb. You raise a ticket, you'll probably have it resolved within 30 minutes. They are absolutely brilliant. So please, please, please check them out and give them some support. Because they deserve it. Cool things. Doc, start us off. Do you have a cool thing?
Actually, I do have a cool thing. Let me pop the link into the old chatter room here. Wait, that's the wrong freaking link. Chota Mate Kudasai. Here we go. This thing is called a Flux. I ran across this yesterday on TechCrunch. But Flux is an all-in-one 3D printer. I'm like, okay, I'm sick of seeing 3D printers. Why is this one going to be any cooler? This one offers a 3D printer, a 3D scanner, and a laser engraver all in one simple unit. And it's pretty trippy because the method that they use to handle X, Y, and Z function is so different from everything that I've ever seen out. It's kind of almost like a pendulum.
It looks like one of those cameras that they have at the football game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The, Skycam.
Yeah, it's supported from every corner. And then it controls the height, etc. from that, yeah.
So this thing is really incredible from looking at what I saw here on the Kickstarter, and a fully functioning one, say, sans the engraver part of it, is only like $500. But if you want one with the laser engraver too, I think it comes out to like $600, which seems like a pretty penny unless you just recently spent a metric crap ton on a laser engraver, like somewhere in so the thousands.
This thing's attached using magnetic balls.
Yes.
And you unplug the balls and then put the new head on and then reattach them, and that's that.
Yes. It's elegant.
That's pretty cool.
Like, it's really, really, really cool. So, I don't know. I just think just for, like, playing around at home and maybe even prototyping some of the stuff that I need to do for my bigger laser, this would be something that I'd be very interested in just to play around with. And I've been wanting to get a 3D printer for a while, but I've been kind of waiting to see. They keep innovating so much. And one of the things I think is dumb about the standard printers right now is they use the standard belt, move, XYZ axis. This is the coolest implementation of XYZ movement that I've seen on a tabletop device in forever.
And so the produced articles don't have that kind of roughness that you'll get on a lot of 3D printers as well.
Yes, and I think that has to do with the jerkiness of a stepper motor versus this nice gliding that you get from magnets. And you know, magnets are pretty dope if you ever ride a train anywhere that has a magnetic train.
So for $509, there's a lot all gone here. For $599, you can get a classic version, complete flux kit with a roll of 500 grams of material, PLA, shipping not included. You won't get it until July 2015, however. But that's it. And if you go onto the stuff like $899, two rolls of PLA included, there's not a lot left.
Wow. No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for this level of project on Kickstarter, and I know this is probably not the best thing to say when you just said, oh, this is cool, you should check it out. This is the kind of thing I like to wait until they're done and then buy it after, even if it's going to say cost me $100 more, because it's better than tying up that large amount of money for almost a year.
Mm.
Right. So this is one of the things that maybe if you're, you know, I got to tell us about Kickstarter. if you're not willing to gamble with the fact that you may never see what you're predicting in, don't put your money in. Don't be those douchebags that sign up for cap on Kickstarter and then complain to the developers like every single day, where's my product, where's my product, where's my product? That's not the point of Kickstarter. It's not a pre-order game. Like, you go in because you believe in the developers and you want to support their efforts, even if their efforts fail. It's like being a supporter of, say, Wigan.
Like any other kind of startup?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was picking on a really crappy soccer team. You know, you support them because you support them. It's not about whether they're going to win or lose. So
it's like being a Cubs fan.
If that's your thing, then wait till it's done and don't try to get a deal. You know what I'm saying? So
but then yeah, nothing will get made. But
I think this is a really epic. I think the innovation is what intrigues me the most, and it's pretty impressive.
It is. It is very good. I'm very impressed with that. Well done. Good shoot.
Very cool.
Very good. I actually listened to that as well. Jeff, what do you have for us? What sex toy do you offer us this week?
I don't have a sex toy this week, but don't worry. I will have one for you soon. What I have this week is the other theme that I go to all the time, and that's Lego. And so the latest round of Lego Ideas kits that have been approved and are on their way to production has been announced. And one of those kits is the Big Bang Theory, which is Leonard and Sheldon's apartment with all the stuff in it and all of their friends.
Oh my God, and yay! Holy
crap, does this kit look awesome? And so there isn't word on exactly how soon it will be out. My assumption is, based on how these cycles typically go, that it will be early-ish in 2015, so probably like in the spring. And I'm guessing, based on what I'm seeing for the parts, and they haven't even announced how many parts it will actually have because they're working on the final production version of it right now. But I'm guessing this will probably be around $60 for this kit when it comes out. And holy crap, does it look awesome.
There's a fair bit of that you could make already from existing stuff.
Oh, you could go and buy all the bricks that you need to make this yourself. And if you're into custom painting minifigs, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of people that are, then you could make all of the minifigs to go along with it too. So yeah, you can totally build this yourself if you have the patience to figure out exactly what you need. But having it all together in a kit is going to be cool. And when Lego does the Ideas kits, they include a really nice instruction manual for building the kit that also has like behind the scenes stuff about designing the kit and what it relates to. So there will be information about the series and probably about the actors. And so it's nice because you get that little bonus, which is the really nice book that goes along with it.
Excellent. I like that. Some of the Lego Cujo stuff is absolutely superb.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And I'm really looking forward to having this sitting alongside my, my Ghostbusters kit and my Mars Rover kit. and my exoskeleton kit, and I actually have quite a few of the Cuso or now Ideas kits. I think I have all except the first couple.
Lego Cuso has a Jeff Gamet number of one.
yes, it does. Yeah.
How do I find this, Jeff?
There's a link in the chat room, dude.
There's a link in the chat.
So I missed it. It's okay, under got it. Sorry.
Jeff G. There you go.
Okay.
Projects 5, 8.
Yeah, if you go to ideas.lego.com, you can see all the kits that
you can
have
spend
already
the
been
rest
approved,
of the night there.
The kits that people are hoping will get approved. And if you search for Big Bang Theory, it'll pop up.
There's some serious cool stuff there.
Thank you.
Good picture.
And a bonus, they've announced other kits that they're considering for production. They have a couple Doctor Who kits that they're looking at. The Wally kit that I'm sure I've mentioned here before is on the list. The Ghostbusters Fire Station, and there's like a Batman kit. There's some really cool stuff. Oh, the life-size lightsabers. That's another one they're looking at making too.
They're talking about the Natural History Museum. It's got 869 supporters already.
The Batmobile. Yeah. 1989 Batmobile.
Yes.
What about the Batwitchmobile?
Yeah. Wall-E. Why is Wall-E not in production already?
It's under review. So what I'm... here's my guess. The next two kits that will get produced will be Wall-E and the Hubble Space Telescope.
Invisible
we'll see
hand.
How close I am.
Exosuit. There's loads.
The exosuit is pretty cool.
I'm not so excited on the X-Men mansion. That's not so cool.
Yeah, I don't think the X-Men mansion's going to get approved.
No. Good picks. Kelly, what do you have for us?
Underpants.
Oh,
I knew you were going to go this route.
Tell us more.
I went this.
So, I need a moment to recover from Doctor Who Lego. Give me a sec. So, I was a kid, and when I was a kid, okay, no, that's probably not the best way, but when I was younger, you could buy like a tank top and a pair of undies like a superhero. So I had Supergirl and I had Wonder Woman, and they were called underoos. And I don't know if y'all had them over there, but underoos were amazing. And then there comes a point where they don't make underoos for you anymore. And it's really sad. And it's sort of like when you realize that all the awesome shoes and stuff, you know, like Batman shoes and things, like they don't make them for your size of feet anymore. It's a super bummer. So, people have wanted underoos so bad for so long that now Hot Topic has them. There are 8 sets. They have Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Batgirl, Harley Quinn, Captain America, He-Man, and Skeletor. And you can get them at Hot Topic. And they come in retro packaging, honest to God, actual, just like old school underoos packaging. They are underoos brand. And they are amazing. And my birthday is Sunday. So there you go.
It is grown-up
sizes. I need this.
It came on my calendar that it was your birthday on Sunday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Juan.
Thank you.
There's some cool stuff there, actually, but I'm sure they don't do it in my size.
There's like a lot of, I mean, they come in grown-up sizes. So knowing who are Batman fans and Superman fans, I would assume that they probably come in larger sizes. It's not just like, you know, Kelly size. So.
Oh, Doc just posted a link. Doc just posted a link to Superman underwear. Look at that. That's a bit, I don't agree with that, Doc, because that's trying to be one-upmanship, because Kelly's pick was cool.
Well, this is what I found when I searched for it. Then I found Kelly's link, too.
Middle age is when the bulge goes from that region to your stomach.
they do come in a large size, though, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
They do. Not large enough,
they're,
however.
Hot Topic is where you can buy them in the U.S. So, yeah.
I like that. Good pick, Kelly. Although none of it will fit me. Stevie Boy, try hard not to pick your last pick as well, would you? Tidal.
Sorry?
Try hard not to pick Tidal again.
Oh, can I not do that one again?
No, you did that last.
I've got 2 picks, actually. And ooh. I'm... can I do the first one, get that out of the way, and then I can go on to the real one, which I really want to talk about. Morphe Juice Pack, Morphe Reserve. It's like a key ring. As small as a key ring. We gave it away at Elmwood recently. So when you have a key fob... on a keyring, this thing is the size of that. It charges your iPhone or any other phone. Well, no, mainly iPhones, actually. It's not the Apple thing. Because it's got a lightning adapter built in, so there's no extra cables. It just plugs straight in. It'll give you a 70% charge. And it's literally the size of a little key fob thing. It's brilliant. It's a Morphe Power Reserve. Okay. Can I go on to the one I really want to talk about?
Of course.
Elite. Does anyone remember the game Elite?
No.
Okay, deaf silence. There used to be a computer game called Elite, and you used to have a space ship, and you used to fly around different worlds and trade goods between one planet and another planet. And it was stunning. And there's a new version of Elite, which is coming out. And this new version, I hope it's really good, but I'm just a bit worried that they've messed it all up, because it's all about getting out of the ship and walking around the place, the station that you've walked out. And you just kind of want it to keep the essence of what they had rather than what they kind of lost by this new graphics that you can walk around and see the spaceship and see the star station that you're in and stuff. So yeah, if you're interested, Google Elite and you'll find out what's going on. And hopefully the new version will be very good. Hopefully it's as good as the last, which was about 17 years ago.
Do you remember Privateer? Was that kind of similar thing?
Privateer, I don't know that.
It was like that. That was, you had to do space trades and you get picked up as being a pirate if you had the wrong cargo, and that was that kind of stuff. But Elite was kind of like the, I thought Elite was the seminal one, and then Privateer kind of copied it.
Yeah, no, Elite was the original one.
Paul Shadwell, I used to play Elite on my BBC computer.
Yeah, BBC Acorn, that was the best way to play it.
BBC Micro.
Yeah. Yeah. Batwinch says that as soon as you mentioned that, Mr. Batwinch started bouncing up and down.
What, the Lego or the Elite?
The Elite. As soon as you mentioned Elite.
No, Elite, it was a game that took you and made you feel like you were a proper space commander.
Hands
and the best thing about Elite was the pirates and the police and the training. It was stunning.
My cool thing. Well done, mate. Good pick. My cool thing is the Ollie. I've been sent this as a review unit. It is superb. And I've got to be careful because I can't drive it on my hand very well. But, oh, crap. There we go. I've dropped it. But this thing does 14 miles an hour.
My goodness.
It's, there you go. Crazy. And if you turn it on its side, you run it off your iPhone. But if you run it off its side and then you start messing around with the control, it goes into a ridiculous spin and it's all over the shop. And it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I can't stop it now. Close the app. There we go. The Ollie. I have no idea what it is. I've been sent this as a review unit. Oh, shit, I dropped it. I've been sent this as a review unit. But I'm going to post a review soon on the blog. And I've also got a Sphero down here. But also, as well, keep watching this space because we're going to give these away. Because I can't keep reviewing it because that would compromise my impartiality. So here you go. The Ollie, absolutely superb. I've had no end of fun playing with it, and the kids love it as well. It's really hard to control to start off with. It takes a while to get used to it, but it's well worth it. Enjoy the Ollie from someone. Can't remember. But I'll post it in the review unit. Where can we get a hold of you then, Dr. Rock?
Most of the places you can find me on the general social media places as Doc Rock, DOCROCK, and then over at the unofficial Apple weblog, also known as Tua.
Excellent. Superb. Thank you. Mr. Gamay.
And at a pub somewhere in Hawaii getting turned up, as we like to say.
And you'll be at the bash on July 4th with the wife.
Yes, we're coming. Hey, wait, that's Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's kind of... You're going to get me in all kind of trouble if I go back to the place that started that whole fight.
No. The thing is, dude, everyone that says, oh, I can't come, it's Independence Day, it's my frigging wedding anniversary. That day is actually my loss of Independence Day, my wedding anniversary. And my wife is okay with me doing the bash.
Well
so
done.
You American boys, you got no excuse. Not having that.
So that's the Queen's English for stop acting like a Mitch.
No, yeah, don't be a pussy anymore. Come on. Bring it on.
All right.
Jeffrey Gamet, where are you, sir?
I am at macobserver.com, and I'm on Twitter at jgamet, and we've already established, like, every podcast, and at freshbrewedtales.com, where I talk about the stuff that I see happening in coffee shops, and there's some really lame people out there for me
to
learn about.
If you're really coming to the bash this year, I'm going to get a shirt made that says my Jeff Garrett number is 1.
Oh my God, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, we should come up with a fundraiser or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We'll do a Kickstarter project for Jeff Garrett shirts. And then the entire 6 billion sales potentially there. because everyone's been on a podcast with Jeff Gamet.
And we'll raise enough money for plane tickets to fly out for the bash.
Ah, good man. Kelly, where are you, missus?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso. You can also find me over at the Mac Observer explaining stuff. And you can find me with Mike Rose on our podcast, The After Show.
We had Mike on the Mac Show today. And I said to him, I can't believe in 4 years we've never had you on a show.
I know.
It's bloody stupid. I do apologize. I know.
Good.
And last but by no means least, the chairman of the London Mac User Group, who have a meeting on the 8th of December, which you can attend in central London, Steve Neighbour.
S Neighbour or Steve Neighbour on Twitter or the London Mac User Group. Come and join us if you're in town on the 8th of December for a great night. It's a pub quiz.
It's a good night.
But it's a pub quiz based on tech.
Yeah, no, it's based on Apple, isn't it?
Nice.
It's based on tech and Apple and London, so we play like 5 seconds of a keynote, and you have to guess what keynote it is. It's quite good fun.
Yeah, no, excellent. I've got to say, I'll be there. There's no question, I'll be there, and I do enjoy going down to London Mac User Group. Although I missed this week because I was away, but I do enjoy it. Come down 8th of October at the Tiger nightclub in Piccadilly. Piccadilly?
Yep.
Piccadilly.
Open till 3 a.m.
Yeah. But most of the people in the Mac User Group...
We normally leave about 10, but just in case.
A 10's optimistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. My name's Uranking. Get me at Uranking on Twitter. We've got... I'm going to try and do a photo show over the weekend. I know I promised last weekend I didn't do it, but I've just run out of time. Thanks to Nick Latty as well, who's helping me compile the doc now, which makes a huge difference. And I'll see you all next week. We've got a big show on Thursday, Mac show on Friday next week, and we'll have another photo show, I hope. So we'll see. Next show that we got live is the Gamer Show on Monday. So tune in for Paul Wheatley and the guys discussing everything in games. See you soon. Thanks for listening. I got another cool thing. My other cool thing, I forgot to do it in the show. I apologize. I've restarted everything. My other cool thing was today's Washington Post, because the headline in today's Washington Post was Uranus might be full of surprises.
And on that point,
are you joking?
Okay.
And that's a real story. Rachel Feltham came up with that headline. Good on you, Rachel. You got you got yourself a follow on Twitter, woman. Excellent.
That's awesome.
That is funny.
I should have done that. I forgot. Damn.
I'm totally checking that on Museum.